Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone, to the Ask Tall Paul Radio Show. This is Tall Paul coming to you live. And tonight's episode, we're going to be talking about living your life in balance and how you get started. A couple of weeks ago, perhaps even over a month ago, we had our very first episode where we talked about this exact same topic. And I shared with you the tool that's called the Life Balance Wheel. And if you look at the graphic for the episode, there is a chart that kind of explains what it looks like. And if you have a piece of paper and a pen or a pencil, you can go ahead and do this as we talk to our friend who called in last time. His name is Paul. And let's see if Paul's online. Paul, are you there?
Yes, hello.
Hi, Paul. How's everything been?
It's been okay.
All right. So just as a recap for everyone, on this life balance wheel, basically what we're tracking is the different elements or facets within our life that comprise who we are. So we're spiritual beings, we're physical beings, we have emotions and, mental issues, and we have physical health, we have financial health, we have our careers and relationships and education, all kinds of things that make us up, make us who we are. And so this tool, we basically are creating like a bullseye or something like a target. And, you know, the question is, how do we live our life in balance? And we really don't know, you know, where we need to focus until we kind of get a snapshot of where we are. So a month ago or so when you called in, you drew your chart, and one of the things that you tracked was career. And when we fill out our chart, we're measuring our satisfaction levels. So zero means zero satisfaction, and 10 is, you know, optimum or excellent satisfaction. So for career, you gave yourself a 1, and so that's what was that. And then the next thing that you were tracking was self-esteem. Self-esteem, you gave yourself a 2. Money, you gave yourself a 3. Happiness was a 2. Joy was a 2. Let's see what else. Health was a 2. Career was a 1. And love was a 4. So 4 was actually very high on your chart. So the lowest number was a 1 and the highest was a 4. And in general, it doesn't really matter what the numbers are. What we're trying to do is teach you how to live in balance. So we'd like the numbers to be as equal as possible over time. And eventually, you know, if there's one that's really, really high, then think of like a tire. If it's smooth and round, then you'll have a nice ride. If it's real bumpy, then, you know, it's great that you have joy in one area, but if you're really, really low in another area, maybe it's time to focus attention and maybe create some goals in that area. So rather than looking at last month, let's take a new snapshot since it's a month later, and let's use the same categories that you were using, and let's give it a new number for this month. How satisfied are you with career, love, self-esteem, money, happiness, joy, and health?
Well, I think we could probably go up a little bit. Career would be the same. Career is a 1 because I'm battling health issues right now.
That's
so right.
Right
now, there is no career right now.
Okay.
Do you want to head to money next?
Sure. Money.
Okay. We'll just go around the wheel, and I would say money is still about a 3.
Okay.
Self-esteem, I would say that's more up to a 3 or 4 now. I think the circumstance of the day, the last time I spoke with you, was more relevant than the overall feeling of that number.
Okay.
I was having a pretty tough day that day. Happiness, I would say, is a... I think we could take that to a 3. And we can take up joy to a 3. I think we can keep... We can probably take health up to a 3, too. I've had some improvements with my health. I'm still, as I said, battling a few things, and I had another recent visit to another surgeon and pain specialist with some good news and some not so good news. So,
all right.
And then love, I think we can keep love at a 4.
Great. So we've seen actually quite a bit of improvement. And what we said last time was that your career was definitely tied to your health, because your health is kind of putting you in limbo, you know, until you get the health under wraps, then you're not sure what you're going to do with your career. But you did say that your health has gone up. So you're feeling better. You've taken, sounds like you went to the doctor.
Well, yes, I did get some MRI results back, and one of the main issues seems to have improved some with my health. I'm still, unfortunately, experiencing a lot of physical pain that's a bit debilitating, so it's not in a place yet where I can move forward and with career because of that until I get those issues more under control. So.
All right. Now, has your doctor given you any guidance as to steps that you can take? So basically, with each one of these areas, you kind of have to bounce and say, what of these areas, which is the most important for me to focus on, where I can. So because health is so tied to your career, you know, if your doctor said, well, physical therapy will help, or diet, certain things, has the doctor given you any direction as to what you should be working on within the next month or so to help improve your health?
Yeah, well, this is where I'm a bit torn, so to speak, because I went and saw a specialist earlier last week, and their opinion is they want me to start doing some things to mitigate my pain more, and none of those things really are anything that I want to do. They involve drugs, which, you know, I told him no. So he kind of checked no off his list there. He did give me some anti-inflammatory topical anesthetic type creams that help a little bit. So I am using that a little. But he also discussed some medications that would have to be given in through a spinal cord injection, and if that works, it would mean that I would need a surgically implanted reservoir that could time release medication into my system. So that doesn't interest me. And the most radical thing that he recommended was a spinal implant of an electrical stimulator system to control the pain, and so that's, you know, that's not something I'm going to do either. I'm just not going to put my body through anything that invasive again. So it's frustrating because they're kind of at, without medication and without invasiveness, it's kind of out of their hands to mitigate my pain, and so I need to head in a different direction to do that.
All right. Yeah, it sounds, you know, like, you know, they're really going for the drug aspect. Have you tried any other types of, like, Eastern-type medicine where perhaps hypnosis or, you know, some other type of things that could help you control your pain?
Yes. I think it's, you know, an overall positive attitude and consistent meditation and releasing of anxiety, you know, it probably is the best thing that I can do.
All right.
However, it is a bit of a catch-22 because the pain induces anxiety, and then anxiety induces more pain. So,
sure.
You know, there are good days and there are bad days. On the good days, I'm doing okay. On the bad days, it kind of compounds itself, you know.
All right. So what our goal is, or my goal is to help you, is to kind of keep track of the things that work for you and the things that aren't working for you. So if you want to draw like a bubble outside of this, or even, you know, near this health area, the three things that you just mentioned to help you control pain are, first of all, having a positive attitude. So I write down, have a positive attitude, and you know, the other things that you might want to try is like meditation. What other things have you tried?
Well, I think, you know, and this is also where I'm a bit in a corner, because I think that very mild physical therapy, massage therapy, helps a great deal, but those things cost money. And as you know, my career is on a one, and money is very tight. So,
okay,
it's again a bit one of those catch 22s.
Let's put those on
the
list. Put those on the list, but on the side, because there's things you can do without money, and then there's things that you can do when you have money. So, we're making a list of the things that are going to help you better, make you feel better. And then, because you've already kind of ruled out all this invasive medication, the surgery, the devices that they want to use, it's not something.
Well, you know, honestly, Paul, the medication does help, but
yeah,
it also limits my life experience. I can be on pain medication and have relief from pain, but then I'm just a person who's living life on pain medication.
Yeah,
and that's really not the life that I feel that I'm supposed to have as a person that has responsibilities and family members who count on me.
Well, just to be clear, I want to make sure everyone understands. I'm not a medical doctor. I'm not offering medical advice. I'm simply choosing your own options that you've given us, and we're listing
mm-hmm.
them out. All right. So when we first started, you were, you know, I understand that your this surgery and the devices, the medication, were options that you really, at this time today, weren't so in favor of. You have not
right.
decided to do those. So there's still options. So
sure. And,
you want to put them down.
And as I said, the pain medication, when the pain was even more severe, was, you know, one of the only options that I had for a while. But I felt that life was not progressing on pain medication. The pain was not as bad, but my life was in a standstill, so to speak.
All right. So, for the next 30 days, what are three things that you'd like to try to focus on that you know that have helped you in the past, or perhaps you've heard might help you? So you can start working towards goals to getting better.
Well, I think the meditation.
Okay.
The positive attitude is tied into letting go.
Okay. I believe positive attitude is a choice, my opinion. So letting go is also a choice. When you say letting go, what are you trying to let go of?
Letting go of the attachment to the unfairness of the situation.
Okay. And you feel it's unfair because?
Well, because, a couple of years ago now, when this original surgeon hurt me, and then covered it up, and then was dishonest about it, and then caused more damage with his deceit. It took that time of my life away, and then I had to have another surgery to fix what he broke, to make it as simple as possible. And then during a physical therapy session, I had the same area completely torn apart. So I had to have a third surgery to fix that. And so it's been a long road of misfortune. And I think that tied into the frustration and the attachment to, you know, why did this happen, or, you know, dot, dot, dot. We've all had experiences where we feel like we've been given a bad set of cards. Now, I'm fully aware that people have been given much worse hand of cards than me. But it still doesn't take away from the fact that I was a fairly happy, healthy, productive human being whose life was, you know, really put
this
on hold. And
because of this event that changed your life so significantly.
And a lot of it was tied to, you know, a surgeon that really screwed things up and didn't do the surgery he should have and botched everything and was deceitful about it. And so it's been a process of letting that go. The more I let that go, I think the better it gets, and the more I progress. But as I said before, on days when the pain is debilitating, it gets compounded by an attachment to, you know, both the physical, literal pain and the emotional pain attached to the circumstances around why it happened to begin with.
All right. Paul, I'd like you to either I want to create a new slice of your pie, and I'm almost tempted not to put it in the pie, but outside of the pie, and I want to call it this thing of being unfair, this unfairness, this part of, you know, needing to let go. You say it's a process of letting go. But my theory is, and I'm not putting words in your mouth, but it's probably very well related to a lot of the pieces of your pie. So you might even want to, I don't know how you want to put it in your pie. Just get it somewhere. And today, let's put a number on your level of satisfaction of this unfairness. So, like, what I really, another word is that I think in order to get rid of the unfairness is the forgiveness part. So at some point, you're going to have to forgive everyone involved with that process, that thing that got you to today that brings you so much pain, both, as you said, the physical pain and the emotional pain associated with this health issue, health crisis, really.
Yeah.
So this unfairness, because you said that, you know, when I asked you for the three goals for letting go of, or to take care of the health issue this month, you said, well, one of them is letting go of the attachment to the unfairness. So what's our satisfaction level on that right now? Where are you at?
Well, it fluctuates.
So today...
It fluctuates. There are days where I'm doing pretty well with it, and there are other days when I'm a bit hyper-focused on it.
Sure. And that's natural. I mean, it's not... There's no judgment placed here. It's you're at where you're at, and it just helps you to say, okay, you know, today I'm really feeling this way, and I'm owning it, and that's... I either want to stay here, I want to get worse, or I want to get better. And that's up to you. And some things are in your control and other things are not in your control. I mean, obviously, you know, you have a physical problem and there's different approaches. So you can go and you can do the surgical interventions with the pain medication. That's an option. Or you can or do these other things that we're going to talk about. But certain things are in your control. So today, your forgiveness level of this botched health job, you know, this surgery and the surgeon, and however forgiveness plays a role in your life, from 0 to 10, if you can, I'd like to put a number on it so we can kind of track it and set some goals for that. Like, what are ways to forgive? What can we do to, unless you just want to stay where you're at, it's up to you. But forgiveness, I'd love to hear a number if we could.
Wow. From 1 to 10?
No, 0 to 10. Zero means I'm not going to forgive. I'm not in a state of forgiveness. I'm just not there.
I would say that I'm, you know, in actual forgiveness, I've moved pretty far forward with that. I would say I'm probably a 7.
Really? Okay, good. So 7 in the forgiveness.
That doesn't mean there aren't days where I go through the sequence of events over the years of things that have happened that have led me to here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not necessarily lying in unforgiveness. It's just, you know, actual factual circumstances that have happened that at times the head spins around them a bit.
Sure. You know, what I love... Last time we talked, we mentioned, like, for each one of these pies, you can have a pie for each section. So, you know, with this whole health thing and the forgiveness of the doctor and whatever, I mean, there's so many different levels. But I love that you're putting your forgiveness on a 7. And also you had love at a 4, which is quite high compared to the other numbers. So when you can look at the forgiveness and look at the love and apply those throughout those other stages that aren't quite so high, I mean, those are obviously traits and qualities that you possess. I mean, for someone to have gone through so much that you've gone through and to say, yes, well, I am able to forgive even though it's really hard and it's changed my life in such a way that my career is at a 1. You know, I really think that's a beautiful gift that you have. So keep, if you can, each day, spend some time in each one of these pieces of the pie giving the forgiveness where needed and sharing and spreading that love, because you're able to do those two things very well in your life. Whereas the other things right now are a little bit more difficult. So, you know,
well, yes, I don't think I would have survived had I not had those numbers high.
Right. So I would give you a gold star on those. I mean, that's awesome. It's great that you can be really so high on the forgiveness when it's so obvious that, you know, it's really touched each one of these dimensions in your life. So last month, when you were having a self-esteem day of a 2, I guess what I'm saying is, like, when you're having a 2 day in self-esteem or in happiness, go through, and because one of your strengths is forgiveness, go ahead and apply that forgiveness to wherever that, however it applies to your self-esteem, that love that you have at a 4, apply that to your self-esteem, and it will help you to realize that, wow, you know, I'm really strong over here, and I'm really feeling weak over here, and I can use my own inherent skills to help bring me forward and bring that balance into life. Because, again, certain things are beyond your control. You can only do what you can do. So for, you know, this whole health thing, you know, you're one of the things you wrote down was letting go to the attachment of the unfairness. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Meditation, and did you have a third thing you want to work on in the next 30 days to help your health, to control the pain?
Mm-hmm.
A positive attitude, I guess we wrote down 2.
Right.
What has helped you in the past to have a positive attitude? Positive attitude is kind of not very concrete. I mean...
Right.
What can we do to make sure you have a positive attitude? Maybe, like, each day, write down 3 things that you're grateful for.
Okay.
Can you try that?
I can try that, sure.
All right. So today, what are 3 things that you're grateful for?
My son.
Okay.
And his health.
Wonderful.
Well, you know, I think we should just say family there.
All right, family.
Including my dogs. their part.
Well, I'll tell you what. I don't have dogs, but I love dogs, and there are a lot of dogs in my life. You know, like my neighbor has four dogs. Two are right outside my next door. They bring a lot of joy to me. My neighbor on the other side has a dog, and then my very good friends have three or four dogs. And when I'm around those dogs, they really help me. They help me to really, I guess, get it. You know, like dogs are just so unconditionally loving, and they have so much joy.
Yeah, exactly my words.
So happy to see.
Took the words right out of my mouth, yeah.
They don't remember anything from the past. They're just like, hey, how are you? You know?
Right.
So
well, if I could bring my level of attachment, forgiveness, and unconditional love to the level of a dog, I think I'd be fine.
Yeah. Well, I was reading last night about totems, animal totems. And because I've heard about it, I really never knew how to identify what your animal totem is. And so the website I was reading says, you know, pay attention to the animals which are in your life, but also affect you, or they teach you, and they kind of spur the emotions within you. And definitely for dogs, for me, I mean, I'll be driving and I see a dog in the car next door, and I'm like, oh, hey, Poochie, Poochie. You know, I'm talking to a dog that can't even hear me, but I know it can. Because I feel like I have a connection.
Mm-hmm.
That dog knows that I love him. All right, that's how I feel.
Yeah.
So spend some time with your dogs. Sit down with them, hug them, do whatever you can. Let them lick your face. I personally don't like that, but some people are into it. All right, well, I think that's for...
Depends on where they've been.
Right. But don't they say that, like, dogs are... saliva is cleaner than humans. I'm not sure.
Yeah, but we tend not to eat shit.
I don't.
At least not. Hopefully not literally. Maybe metaphorically, but.
Right. All right. So, looking at this health, is there anything else that? Well, those are the three things that you can do in the next month. So every day, if you can. Try to wake up, if you can, in the morning, or spend some time throughout the day thinking of three things that you're grateful for. Make that a common practice, and you'll begin to, it'll just change your energy levels. It will begin to change your outlook. And that, my guess is, I really believe that your self-esteem, your happiness, your joy, these other things that we're tracking will also start to be uplifted. What do you think of that? Do you think that might be?
Oh yeah, absolutely. And I think esteem fluctuates the most.
Right. Okay. So, and that's probably why it was, you know, on that first day that we talked, your lowest number, because, you know, your money situation pretty much is the same for most people day in and day out. I mean, like if you have some sort of income, unless you're out there panhandling, collecting change on a corner, people who are doing that, they might get less money on a day than others. So I assume
I'm not doing that. I would make more money right now if I did do that.
Well, I've heard that the average panhandler in New York makes $40 an hour. So I don't live in New York, but, you know, someday I might go there. No, anyway.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be fun to me, just because I'm a people person and I enjoy talking to people. But anyway, it is a business in itself. I'm not suggesting you do that, Paul. I'm just kind of cracking a little joke there.
Sure. I get it.
You get it. All right.
If I didn't have a family, I might be tempted.
Right. Well, you never know. I mean, let's not talk about that anymore. You make your decisions however you want on that. But all right, so the health. The other things you might want to list, which we had kind of started the list, are the other options. So your level two options for health and level three. So the level three were these suggestions of the surgeries, the pain injections and things, medications. You're not there yet. You've decided today you don't really want to go there because it's just not, you're not comfortable with it yet or at this point.
Well,
so,
no, I've been there, done that.
Yeah. Okay.
And it's time to move on from that. It's not a, it's not
great,
the life that I'm going to live anymore.
Okay.
I've had enough surgeries. I have had enough nerve block injections. I've had enough pain medication over the
now,
last...
Now, how does that feel? Meaning that confidence that you're speaking with.
Well, it's a bit of a leap. Because I know with those things, life is more comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not really life. It's, you know, merely an existence within a system of medicatedness. If that makes any sense.
Sure. Well, I guess it's
somewhat like chemotherapy, okay? Chemotherapy for people who need to kill cancer cells is necessary, but it's not, they're not the only cells it kills. And so pain medication kills pain, but it's not the only part of your life that it kills.
Right.
It eliminates and mitigates pain, but it eliminates and mitigates motivation. It eliminates and mitigates abilities. It eliminates and mitigates all aspects. So whenever, and some people need it. You know, I've been in the doctor's offices, and some people are in severe, severe pain, and their options are nothing but that. And that's what they have to do. You know, no judgment against anybody else. But I know for me, that's not what I'm supposed
right.
to be doing.
Right. And when I hear you speak about it, I mean, you have this confidence, which is, I mean, you're certain about it right now. For today, you're certain that...
Yeah.
You don't want to go down
very,
that path.
It would be very comfortable. It would be very easy.
Yeah.
And legitimate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no problem. I got a handful of doctors that are happy to put me on a regimen of mitigated pain.
Right.
So it's not, it, you know, and there are many people that seek that lifestyle. I'm not supposed to be one of those people. It's as simple
great.
As I can put it.
Sure. No, I get it. Like for me, I've always said that if I were to have cancer, I don't think I would go through the chemotherapy route. You know, that's how I feel. I don't know. I'm not at that point. But,
sure.
You know, everyone has their way, and there's no judgments. It's like...
Right, right.
It's some people absolutely must have the pain management through medication. And, you know, there's certainly other ways to help with it. And it might not, you know, completely get rid of the pain. But so one of the things, I don't know if I've mentioned online or not, but I am a certified clinical hypnotherapist. So when hypnosis is very effective to not only control the pain, but to bring it out of your awareness. So if someone has chronic migraines, the first thing that we would do is make sure that the person has been to a medical doctor, that they've had you know, all the medical tests to rule out brain tumors, et cetera. And once the medical doctor is able to determine that there are no brain tumors and this is a chronic condition, then the management of that pain is actually quite easy. So if you think of like a file cabinet, and your brain is this enormous vault or file cabinet filled with information, there's all kinds of stuff in there that you're not aware of. It's down in your subconscious, and at any moment you can pull information out. So if I say the words Jimmy Carter, deep down you pull out some information about Jimmy Carter, and what's the first thing that comes to your mind?
Habitat for Humanity, peacefulness.
Okay. Now, a minute ago, were you thinking about Jimmy Carter?
No.
Okay. Well, I wonder why. Why weren't you?
No need to access that file.
No need to access that file. But it was there. Is that correct?
Correct.
Now, if I were to ask you, what state is Jimmy Carter from? Do you know the answer to that?
Georgia.
Georgia. Where did you get that information?
From the file.
From the file. Hmm. What was his major career? His major career?
Other than president? Peanut farmer?
That's a big one. He was a peanut farmer. See, you keep pulling out all this information that I think a minute ago you probably weren't thinking about in your conscious awareness, were you?
No.
Okay, no. This is exactly how hypnosis works and how pain management with hypnosis works. Once it's been determined that your pain is chronic, all we have to do is teach you to put your pain right back in a folder wherever Jimmy Carter was. You can have another location for pain. Put that information there. And whenever you want to access that pain, it's there for you. But whenever you don't need it, I mean, it's always there. It's always there.
Right.
But your awareness of
Well, I would really like to learn to do that.
Okay. Well, we just kind of learned half of it, didn't we?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah. No, that sounds like it could be an answer to a lot of my issues.
Definitely. And I'll tell you this much. So that's one technique, is this file drawer. And it's all hypnosis is self-hypnosis. So if you're going to a hypnotherapist or hypnotist, they're actually not doing anything. You are doing it. They're just helping you along with the process. Okay. So as I asked you to, you know, think about Jimmy Carter, you cooperated. You went down. You found the information. And you pulled out more information than I asked for. Meaning I said, you know, what's his major thing? And you said peanut farmer, you know, president. And then you came up with peanut farmer. And I'm sure there's all kinds of other stuff. So you went with my initial suggestions and you went forward like, wow, you even came up with the peanut farmer thing. So
yeah. You kind of just summed up the way my mind works, which is a big part of the problem.
It's a high, overactive mind, perhaps.
Very overactive.
Yeah.
Very hyper-aware.
So the one technique is to, now when you're thinking of this data bank, some people are visual, you know, there's different techniques. When I asked you, I mentioned the file cabinet. Did you actually imagine a file cabinet, or what was the imagery that came up?
I saw one, but.
Okay. So one could be a file cabinet, and in you open up a drawer, and there's folders in there. What color are the folders?
Yellow.
Okay, so yellow folders, and on each folder there's a tab. One's for Jimmy Carter. Let's find one for, you want to call it pain? Or do you want to be more specific? Shoulder pain?
Yeah, that's a few drawers.
Okay, a couple drawers.
That's a few drawers full of files.
All right. Well, let's kind of simplify it. Right side pain, left side pain, or upper quadrant. You know, really, it's up to you. Mm-hmm. When you find that file for the pain, that specific one, and I want you, when you're ready, to just, whatever you want to put in there, you're going to take it from wherever you're experiencing it, and I want you to imagine you're going to somehow gather it, like use your hands and draw like a big circle, and you're gathering this pain, and then you grab it and just stuff it in that folder like you would a normal bit of information that you're putting in a file cabinet. And when you're ready, from the top of your head all the way down, scan your body, anything you don't want to keep that's pain-related that your doctors have determined is chronic pain, we're going to put in that folder. And we're going to, when you're ready, close that file cabinet, and it'll be there, and that's that. It'll be there whenever you need it.
Okay.
All right. So that's one technique. And we'll leave that technique. I'm going to teach you this other one, and I have a little story behind it. I have a friend whose first language is Spanish. His English is very poor, actually. And he told me one day he had this migraine, and it was so horrible. And So this other technique is you imagine that up in your brain is this control center, and on the in this control center there's a door, and it's a white door, and on the door there's a black marker, and it says control room. And you look down at the door handle, it's a brass door handle, and you open it up, and you open the door, and there's a big white wall in front of you. And as you walk in, you approach the wall, you can see there are little dials and nodules for every single mechanism and emotion. Everything that goes on in your life is in that control room. And they're all listed alphabetically. They're easy to find. And for you, you can go over to shoulder pain. You look up shoulder pain, and there's this dial. It's black with white lettering and numbering on it, and it goes from 0 to 10. So if we check your shoulder pain right now, what number is it at?
It's at about a 7 right now.
All right. Now, 7 is 10's the highest, and to test it, you can turn that dial up, and as you go up, the pain gets worse. And if you don't like that, then the other option is to turn it down to a lower number to where it's manageable. And when it's at a number that's comfortable for you, it can be anywhere from 10 all the way down to 0. And when it's at a number that is comfortable for you, you will leave it there. What number should we move it to?
Oh, I'd like to move it all the way down.
To a 0. All right.
My whole right upper quadrant, yes.
Okay. So are we looking at the shoulder pain or the whole upper right quadrant?
Oh,
pain?
It's radiating throughout the neck, shoulder,
okay,
arm, chest.
All right, remember, we were looking at that
upper
specific
right
dial.
Side of my body.
Mm-hmm. Right, let's find the right dial for what we're talking about. It's kind of a master. It's a bigger dial. Find that bigger one, and when you find it, let me know.
Okay.
You found it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what's it labeled?
Right upper quadrant.
Okay. Now, what number is that at?
About a 7.
Okay. Now, do you trust me?
Sure.
All right. We need to test if this is working. If you trust me, I would like you to turn it up to an 8. And as you start turning it up, you can actually feel it increase. Is it working?
Mm-hmm.
It's getting, yeah. And that's, I mean, we can keep turning it up.
A little more tension, yeah.
Okay. And if when you're done testing it, because we know it's working, now let's test it the other direction. As you release and you start turning that dial in the other direction, you can slowly feel, oh, man, it's letting go. Whew. You can breathe easier. Your temperature, body temperature is feeling better. And you can actually feel all the pain and the, oh, wow. It's just incredible how that works, isn't it?
It is releasing a little, yeah.
Yeah. So you're in charge of that dial, Paul. And you're going to be putting that dial where you want it. And this is something you're going to check in on every day.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to make sure when you're at a comfortable level, you're going to keep it there, and guess what? There's a safety latch. Did you see it? There's a safety latch. I want you to put the latch on the number, and we're going to leave it there, and you're in charge of that number. Okay?
Okay.
So whenever you need a check-in, you're just going to go back up to the control room. You go to the white door. You have the black lettering that says control room. You have the door handle. It's the brass. You go on in, and you find that big dial. You check the number, and you keep it where you want it. All right, is that a deal?
Mm-hmm.
Perfect. All right. So we spent a lot of time on health because it's a major issue in your life. And I think we've given you some tools right now to help you to, in the next 30 days, have a better life. I today you're at a 3 or 4 in your health. I'd love to hear, another one that we might want to keep track of is pain, because there's one thing is health. Health has many dimensions, but really what you talked a lot about was pain and pain mm-hmm. management. So
yeah.
We might want to segment out pain, because really if we say, oh, my health is only a 3 or a 4, psychologically you might all of a sudden start having psychosomatic symptoms, where your lungs might start not working well, or your blood pressure might not.
It's already happening, yeah.
Yeah. So let's take pain out and put pain as a separate thing. We're going to manage pain separately outside of your health, because otherwise, how's your health doing? If you were to remove health or your pain out of health, what number would you give your health? I mean, are you physically fit? Are you overweight?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. No, I give my health a probably an 8 or a 9.
Oh, my gosh. All right.
Without
pain. All right. Wonderful. Let's change that. So on your master life balance wheel, your health is an 8 to 9. I love that. Now there's so much more hope. And over on the other side, your pain, which really has caused so much of an influence on all these other aspects of your life, the pain is really the one that's kind of the bugger. He's the guy that you're going to start working on, because otherwise an 8 to 9 in health is pretty darn good. Most Americans aren't that healthy.
My weight is good. All my numbers are really good.
Great. Okay. So I'm glad we separated that and we identified that it's really not your health that's bad. It's your pain that's bad.
No. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
And that's definitely radiated out to my overall health and well-being, but not on a long-term, health numbers kind of thing. Cholesterol, blood pressure, all that stuff is real good. It fluctuates some with the pain, but
sure.
Overall, it's great, yeah.
Well, I would, if I were in your shoes, I mean, I would, put on these health glasses, and I'd like you to look at each one of these pieces of the pie. So if I'm looking through my health glasses and I'm an 8 to a 9 and I'm now looking at my happiness that was a 2 last month and is a 3 today, knowing that I'm an 8 or a 9 in my health, I would think my happiness number is actually a little higher than a 3 right now. Now that we've identified that pain is, that's the culprit, not your health. That would help my happiness and my joy. I mean, I'm so happy for you right now that we've been able to kind of isolate that. Because sometimes we just don't really know what's going on. And that's the whole point of this exercise, is to see, what is affecting us. We're supposed to live our life in balance, but we're not even sure where we're out of balance. And it's not your health. It's your pain.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I love it. Okay. So let's move on. We talked a lot about health. We've talked about pain. We've given you steps to take care of that. Now let's look at something else. So the one that was really low last month at a number 2 was self-esteem. This month, though, it's gone up to a 3 or a 4. What do you think is different between last month and this month? How come you're better this month?
Oh, today I'm less focused on the attachment to what we were talking about before.
Oh.
Last month I was a little more in a woe is me mood.
Okay, and it was more focused on that life being unfair type thing.
Right.
Mm. But today you're not so much, you're better off today than you were last month. And why do why is that different? Do you know, did you do anything different today when you got out of bed or?
Well, I don't know.
Nothing
too different. Just not. It's been a long, slow process of letting go.
Sure.
Or continuing to let go.
Can I ask what to you is self-esteem?
Well, I think it's an interesting question. I think that there's two components to esteem. In fact, I would even break it apart as self-worth and self-esteem.
All right.
I think self-esteem is something that we fill with accomplishments, with ideas, with philosophies, with things that make us happy. But I think if you look at the bigger picture of it, I would say self-worth is the vessel that we are filling. And I think that's there's a big difference between the two, although they're interconnected and combined. So think of it as self-worth being a container that is at different levels that is filled with self-esteem.
All right.
So I think that a big problem for most people is the condition of their container, which is the self-worth component. Because if you can spend a lifetime building your self-esteem and filling up your container with self-esteem, but if the container is damaged and it's leaking or it's broken, then it's never going to be full. Do you get the metaphor?
Right. So you're at a 3 or 4 today, which is significantly better than last month. You're at a 2. In my mind, 3 to 4 is,
right.
You know, I mean, I don't know much about math, but I believe mathematically that's a significant jump.
Sure, sure, sure.
Yeah. I wish I knew more about math, but anyway. So 3 to 4 is pretty...
It's 100% better.
It's 100% better. All right. So now the question is, are you satisfied with being at a 3 or 4, or would you like it to be better? Do you want a greater self-esteem or self-worth? Is this something that you want to work on or not? Because, you know, there's a lot of – we have so many different pieces of the pie, and I want to kind of simplify it for you because we've given you some for health because we know that your pain management, that's a big deal. It's affecting everything. So that one
All right.
really want you to start working on and be committed to, because if you're not, then all the other ones, it's just like trying to – you know, what do they say? Paddle up a river without a
Yeah, well,
rope.
It's a big hole in the vessel, you know.
Yeah.
It's causing leaks.
Okay. Now, your whole life isn't about, I mean, you might have a lot of thoughts and your energy might be consumed with this pain, but, I mean, hopefully your self-worth and your self-esteem are not totally based on your pain levels. Are there other things in your life that you can...
Well, yeah, I mean, it's been an ongoing struggle for us all. Well, maybe not for us all, but for some of us.
Well, sure. I mean, it's definitely something that people... It's just part of being human. But if you want it to be a... You know, because it was your lowest number last month, you're doing much better today. If it's not something... If you feel strong in this, we can leave it alone. Or we could set three goals for the next month for you to work on. Like one of them, it's going to help, and that is to every day find 3 things that you're grateful for. Would you think that that would help your self-esteem, your self-worth?
Oh, yeah. I think that that's enough.
Okay. So we're...
Because I think part of it is also letting go.
Ah. So, see, this is interesting how it's all connected. So letting go, and that's... How you use that term, letting go before, of the unfairness. Is that how
right.
you complete the sentence? Letting
right.
go of the unfairness. So maybe that's the title of this. The title of Paul's current situation, letting go of the unfairness. Maybe that's a chapter. And how you're going to go about doing that. And the word that I use was forgiveness, you know. how are you going to forgive it? And then so you can move forward. Because you either want to stay where you're at, we don't even need to talk anymore, just stay where you're at. It's up to you. Or you want a better life, you want to have more energy, you want to have a more positive outlook, you want to be able to have a career and money and these things that are kind of getting you really down.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I think as we talked last time, you want to get out of this, you know, thing. So
yes,
the chapter title, Letting Go of the Unfairness. I love that.
Because we've
been able to identify, like, what is this thing, this cloud, and it's the unfairness. That's the thing that's really kind of getting you down.
Mm-hmm.
And then understanding. So I'll share this as something. When I was younger, I used to be a monk for 2 years. I was a Catholic monk. And the second year, I lived at this retreat center for Alcoholics Anonymous and all the different anonymous groups. And mm-hmm. that was our ministry, and we had facilities to house 65 different retreatants at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And for fun, see, we, as a monk, we had our regular daily schedule, and they were very strict at the schedule. But for quote-unquote fun, our guardian said that we could go to the AA meetings. And I've never been drunk in my life, but I thought that would be more fun than perhaps the monkly duties that we were doing. So
mm-hmm.
I went to this AA meeting, and the topic of the meeting was the turning point in these people's recovery. And it was a men's meeting, and these men got up there, and they were like construction workers and just very like manly men. It was incredible because each one of them would get up there, and a lot of them were crying. And the fourth step of the 12-step program is to do a fearless and searching moral inventory of your life. And they're talking about how when they finally did this fourth step, which is to really look at your life and to see, you know, what you've done, where it has gotten you, to be honest about what's happened in your life, that was the turning point in their recovery. And each one of them said the same thing. It was the fearless part, to do the fearless moral inventory. So the next day I was in the chapel, and I was meditating, and I was like, wow, that was so powerful last night. I can't believe how honest these guys were. And I'm like, wait a minute, Paul, why are you so impressed with their honesty? You know, maybe you're not so honest. You need to do that fourth step. And you know, because I wanted that freedom that they had to be able to just tell their story and to bring some understanding to where they were in their life. And so I decided then and there I was going to do that fourth step. And I spent the next year writing every single day about all the different things in my past, the different people, relationships, friendships. We remember the good things in our life because they make us feel good about who we are. We
mm-hmm.
like them to happen again. They support us, and we kind of glorify the good old days. And then we also remember the bad things, maybe not at a conscious level, but certainly at a subconscious level. Although some people
I think mine are pretty conscious, yeah.
Yeah, some people focus on the pain because that's where they're at, but everyone's different. Like
mm-hmm.
for me, we can talk about something called the Enneagram another day. Enneagram is very fascinating. But so these, we remember subconsciously the good and the bad. And we remember the bad because it protects us. Like, we don't want that to happen again. So we react in similar situations the same way over and over and over again until we identify the behavior and we change it. So I worked for a year writing about all these people and the events in my life, the circumstances, and I'll tell you what, and this is for a whole other episode, but it really, really helped me to understand what my life was all about and how some of these crazy things that happened to me, you know, what it all meant. And it's
mm-hmm.
brought so much freedom, a total freedom in my life to forgive and to live without that pain and the, you know, this tragic ridiculousness that was happening when I was a child. And again, that's another episode, but it's beautiful. That's just another tool that one can use. So someone's writing here. And we have a chat room on this Blog Talk Radio, and I'm going to ask you this in a minute. Someone's offering some advice.
Okay.
But anyway, this letting go of the unfairness, I think we all need to go through that. And it's just a great way just to be knowing that that's kind of an issue. Like, okay, now if I can start looking at these things that I really think are unfair, we can kind of tick them off once we understand them more and know that you've done as much as you can and it wasn't your fault. You were not the surgeon in this case. You know, you weren't the one that did the surgery. And it's like, okay, have you done your part? Have you gone to your doctor's appointments? Have you done your physical therapy? Have you taken the vitamins? Have you done the medication? And I think you could say yes to everything, every single solitary thing. Is that right?
Right.
Have you
right.
done your part? You've done your part.
Yes.
Now, you can spend a lifetime blaming this guy and say, hey, ugh, you know, like, You did this to me. Why could you? You ruined my life. You've done this.
Right.
And you can continue forever, blaming
right.
and
well,
feeling.
I wouldn't have made it that this far if I had been stuck there. You know,
right.
I have my moments, but that's not where I live my life.
And I think because you've identified that you gave yourself a 7 as a forgiver, like 7 in forgiveness and a 4 in love, I think those are two very strong traits that you have as a human being, and you can take those gifts forward and to say, surgeon, look, it's been a long ride and I love you because I love myself and I need to have freedom. I need to move beyond this, and I'm not going to, my old novice master would say, don't let anyone occupy any space in you. Don't let them take up any of your energy. You need to have the freedom to live your life. Otherwise, they're getting have space in you rent-free. So, anyway. All right, so
yeah.
We have a user who wrote in, and he's asking you, do you like to garden at all?
Yeah, actually, I have a garden.
Yeah, and I wonder why he's asking that. I know why he's asking that, because I love the garden and I know what it does for me. But why do you have a garden?
Why do I have a garden?
Why do you have a garden? Not everyone has a garden.
Right. Well, because I love to garden. I love to grow food.
What does that do for you?
Well, I think for me it just takes me to a simpler time.
All right. A simpler time. It's a quiet time.
It's interesting because it's when I'm in pain, I tend not to tend to the garden.
All right.
And it becomes a struggle. And
can I ask when you're
then,
in the garden?
And then maybe on a larger part, I tend not to tend to myself or my needs either.
Mm-hmm. When you're in the garden, do you even think about your pain? I think this is why he's asking it. Because I know when I'm out in my garden, I'm just in paradise. I'm walking around, I'm looking at the fruit, I'm looking at the, you know, all this wonderful stuff. Now, sure, there's weeds, which is no fun.
Yeah.
But when I'm out there and I'm actually taking care of the earth and I'm taking care of the environment, and it's kind of creative. It's co-creative because I believe in God, and I believe that it's a, you know, it's together. It's not just God and I. It's with the tree. I mean, I'm out there and I'm getting fresh air and I can hear the birds and it's quiet and, wow, it's just so, it's paradise.
Yeah. No, and it's interesting that that would be mentioned because I I started a garden area a couple of years ago before the surgery. And I got just posts in to my raised garden bed. And then I got hurt. And then when I got to the point where I was able to work on it again, I worked on it a little bit longer, and then I got hurt again. And so this garden has literally been a 2.5-year project. And so I recently, in the last 3 months, got it completed to the point where I could start planting. But in the process, you know, it caused a lot of muscle strain and inflammation and
you kind of overdid it.
A little overdid it, and also, you know, I live in a kind of a rural area, so the last step was to get fencing around the posts, and I couldn't do it. I was in too much pain to get that done. It's kind of also a little bit in limbo, and because of that, I've had some thieves that are eating plants and.
Oh yeah,
vegetables and things. So, and so it's a bit frustrating.
Oh, I hear you. I mean, but think of how happy they are.
My pattern tends to be, you know, to neglect things when I get to that frustration level of, it's, you know.
Okay.
Here it goes again.
Well, I'll tell you what, the user, you know, the person, the listener who's in the chat room, in fact, the listener, if you want to call in, the number is 347-838-9986. Maybe it'd be helpful if you call in and, you know, talk to Paul. But he's saying in the chat room, he says, you can ask for help. Like, if you can't do it yourself, ask for help. Like, you could put an ad on Craigslist that's, you know, saying that you're injured and you need help in the garden and you're more than happy to, like, you know, share in the harvest. Or, I mean, there are tons of people. In fact, last week we had my friend Joey online, and it's probably Joey that's, you know, writing here in the chat room, but he was saying that there was a woman that he recently met that was divorced, and she needed help building this raised bed garden or something. And she, for whatever reason, she met Joey, and he brought some other people over, and in one day, they just got this entire thing built. She wasn't even expecting any of it. She just wanted them to come and give an assessment of what she thought needed to be done, and they just did it for her. And I really, really believe there's people out there that can help, you know. Now, I think it's more not about gardening. I mean, although gardening is great, but maybe just spending the time outside in your garden, you know, special. Because when you're inside, for one thing, these structures that we live in are completely man-made. They are not natural. They are so, like, I'm sitting here in my office, and it's filled with computers and electricity, and I don't think that's natural. But if you can go outside and get out of this maze of wiring, I know I feel better. I don't do too well in the sun, but I know that the more I spend outside, the more I can spend, like, the more I'm outside, the more I can spend outside. I can build up a tolerance for the sun.
Yeah.
So, anyway, this sounds great. I mean, it's definitely some great advice for the listener who's in the chat room.
Yeah.
All right, so self-esteem, being grateful, you know, finding three things you're grateful, that will totally help your self-esteem. Okay, money is definitely connected to career, right? I mean, if you have your career was better, money would be better. Do you think there's anything...
Sure.
Anything you could do right now to help your money situation? Are you spending money in a way you shouldn't be? Or
no, I've got that.
Good.
You know, much, much, much more under control now.
I mean, a lot of people don't realize what money they spend. Like the other day, Susie Orman, who's a financial expert online, she says, never spend your change. And she says, because when you have change, you think, oh, this is just change, and you're willing to spend it without even thinking. But if you have a dollar bill, a $5 bill, a $10 bill, that money, you think twice about, oh, you know, I need this money for electricity or something. And so she says, never spend your change. Just put it in a jar, put it in a drawer, and then in a couple months, go and get it cashed in, and you'll see, you know, what an incredible, how easy it is to save up this money. So I just this week went to the bank with a drawer full of money. I'm not going to say how much it was, but it was hundreds more. Let's just say it was in the many hundreds. And so I was quite excited. And it's just changed, literally pennies, quarters, nickels, dimes. So it's one. Oh, okay. It says, do you mind, Paul, if we bring in Joey?
No, not at all.
Okay. Hi, Joey. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Welcome. Well, this is Paul and Paul, Tall Paul and Paul, who's called in. So what do you have to say?
Oh, I just think it's very brave of Paul to be taking on these kind of challenges in his life because they're heavy stuff he's dealing with. And it reminds me of some of pain that I had gone through and how debilitating it is and how it's so hard to just want to do even the things you love to do or you want to do so bad. And when he talked about going and trying to build his guard bed and hurting himself doing it reminded me of those times. And I don't know if I was stubborn or what was wrong where I didn't ask for help, for somebody to help me. And it's taken me a while. My wife's helped me a lot, but to ask for help when I couldn't do it because I was always so strong. And didn't need any help. And so after that painful experience and going through that, you know, it was crying on the ground kind of pain that I've never experienced in my life, being so, you know, I just never had that kind of pain from an injury. And and it was amazing. It was just a crazy experience. And then I started to realize I couldn't do everything on my own, or like it, not that I ever could really, but I, you know, would think that all the time and do everything on by myself and not ask for any help. And then through that crazy amount of pain, I started to like reach out to, I had to almost, I had so many things I wanted to do and so many things that I love and that I want to be, still do. And I wanted to keep doing them, and especially I have my children and my wife, and so I would start asking for help from my friends and even from people I didn't really know yet, like to lift things or something. I'm better now, but I still have this pain, this lingering pain, and sometimes I can re-injure it really easily. But I just identify with that struggle. It doesn't sound like I had as much pain as you do, but that hard part of trying, feeling strong, and then going for it, and then the pain comes back, and then I started to feel really worthless. I mean, kind of, but I wasn't. I had to go through all that.
Yeah, asking for help is a challenge.
Do you think that's a man thing? Because I mean, I never ask for help. I mean, I'll buy help, I'll pay people to help, but I can never ask for it. It's very difficult.
Well,
possibly a man thing. Raised.
Well, because go on.
Raised when I was by older parents, the importance of self-reliance, the importance of strength, and how it's tied to what Joey was talking about, a sense of worth. Which is false, but I think we tend to feel that way.
Well, I think we're raised from day one. You must be strong. You can't have emotion. You must be the provider. And women are on the other opposite, where you're supposed to have emotion, and, you know, they have no problem asking, right?
Yes.
Honey-do. You've heard of the honey-do list. I'm sure you have them. You're both married, right? I'm not married, so I don't have that problem. But anyway, but the truth is, we're not always strong. We're not always, we do have emotions, and it's not always easy. Like, we can barely handle our own issues, in let alone someone else's. So, you know, it is a struggle. And I think, Joey, you kind of hit the nail on the head. It's being able and allowing yourself to ask for help, because we can't do it all.
Yeah.
And I actually went to an acupuncturist that we knew, and I asked, and it was a woman. Like, it ended up being where I was asking more women for help. And I asked her, like, I had all this pain and all this crazy feelings. And I asked her, I said, she's like, well, what, I go, I don't want you to, I go, I want to cry. I can't.
Uh-oh. Joey.
Somebody went away.
Joey, you dumped out there. Are you back?
Sorry. I'm back. Oh, I'm back. Hello?
Okay, you said you wanted to cry? Okay.
Well, I told her I wanted to cry because I couldn't. I was having all these emotions and all this pain, and I didn't even want her to put needles where the pain was.
Hey, Paul, I'm going to stay on the line, but I got to take this other call for a second, okay?
All right.
I'm listening to both. Hang on.
Okay, good.
Hey, Deb.
So, yeah. So, she put some needles somewhere, and I cried.
Oh, really?
And it was, and she told me it was...
Are you dumped out again? Okay.
Actually,
we can't hear you, Joey.
Yeah,
start
did
over.
It happened that somebody called in on my phone, and so then it cuts my signal out.
Okay, so you're both getting calls at the same time.
Yeah.
I'm on the other line. That's why I didn't pick up the
other. Okay, sounds like Paul will be back here in a second.
Paul, Mom, and see what's going on for the weekend. That may work out even better. So let me give you a call back in about a half hour or so, okay? All right,
then.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
All right.
Okay. I had to get that call.
No problem.
I'm back.
So Joey was saying that he's at the acupuncturist, and he says, I want to cry, but didn't want even a needle in the pain area. So she put a needle
in
some cry area. So she put the needle in, and it made you cry?
Yeah, it was called I remember now what it was called. It was called the Pillar of Tears.
Oh.
That's something. It was in my feet, and my pain was in my back. And all of a sudden, I just started crying. I don't know what I haven't studied a lot. I don't know a lot about pain and like memories and emotions or how your body works a lot. But all I know is I cried, and I couldn't remember the last time I cried. Years and years.
Mm.
But it was all mixed up, and I just couldn't believe. I still can't believe. And that's why I think what you're going through is so.
Joey, we didn't hear you. Did you hear him, Paul?
All I heard was what you're going through is so...
Yeah.
Which kind of sums it up.
Is that what happened?
We can't hear you. Sorry.
You're dropping. But it sounds like the fact that you didn't cry for so long was part of your holding in the pain, being brave, being strong, not asking for help, not being vulnerable, and so on and so on. And then to actually have to go through that to the point where you had no choice and you had to release was like releasing a floodgate. but I'm not hearing Joey again, Paul. So
no,
I'm
not either.
Hearing
yeah, Joey. Well, anyway, we really get the idea, and I'm so glad you called because, you know, it's. I don't know. I just feel bitter that you called. What do you think, Paul?
I think it's all tied together, and I think that I do need to ask for more help, and it's something that I'm resistant to. And a lot of it is because when I was able, financially, physically, emotionally, I was a person who, you know, literally at one point had the pickup truck and would help people move and would help people in financial trouble and would physically go and mow lawns and do things and volunteer and give and give and give and give and give and give. And I was very, very, you know, adept at doing that, but never very good at asking for help. And when I got to the point where I went through all of this, pretty much all those people who I thought were friends, some quickly, but some slowly faded away.
Yeah.
And they're not around, so it's been a tad epic. So that's also compounded the issue. It's made me reticent to ask for help because I have asked for help and I have tried to reconnect and it hasn't worked out so well. So
should we write down ask for help? I already wrote it on mine.
Okay.
Should we write it down like in big letters?
Okay.
All right. Well, we have just under 7 minutes left. Do you want to stop here and I can start talking about future shows? We'll just do a quick wrap up with you and then.
Sure, yeah, Paul, absolutely.
I'd love to invite you back, and if you want, obviously. If you don't, you don't have to. But, you know, we'd love to hear what's going on and do a check-in to, you know, check your progress to see if having this exercise of finding three things a day that you're grateful for, and you said you wanted to meditate more on a regular basis, and we did talk about this forgiveness, you know, and trying to look at this unfairness and trying to let go of that. Because, truthfully, I mean, it was in the past, and you can't do anything about that. You do have medical options and these other options for your pain that we've separated out of your health, because your health is very good on an 8 to a 9.
Yeah.
But your pain now that we've put it out on its own, I think that's really going to help, too, because if you really think, oh, my health is bad, my health is poor, it's going to affect everything, your happiness, your joy, your self-esteem, et cetera.
Yeah.
Because it's like, all right, well.
I mean, it's definitely led to some complications with my physical health, but not the big number, you know, health.
Yeah, right, right.
Not the big ones.
I think it's if just identifying it is going to help, definitely. All right. Well, do you have any questions? Or?
No, I think that's it.
All right, Paul. Well, we'll check in. You have my
information. I'll check in with you again maybe on a monthly basis and let you know how we're progressing. How does that sound, Paul?
Wonderful. So,
and thank you. Thank you for being out there for everyone and for wanting to help people. I think it's a beautiful thing. And I hope that what I'm willing to share and what you're willing to give of yourself is helping on an exponential level, and I suspect that it is. So.
Well, I know it is. I mean, you're helping me. I just, you know, I love just hearing what you're going through helps me to put into perspective what I'm going through.
And honestly, this is, I know it sounds a bit epic, but it's honestly just the tip of the iceberg of what's going on with things right now. So, and the reason I say that is because if anyone feels like they're really at the end of the rope or they're not going to make it, you know, it's possible that you can.
Right. Absolutely.
It's possible that you can. So just
definitely
remember that. Take it from me.
All right. Paul, right, we have Paul, a very interesting speaker tomorrow. Her name is Kalei. She's a Hawaiian kahuna princess.
Mm-hmm.
I believe she said 17 generations of kahuna in her family. And she's going to come and visit tomorrow and speak with us and show us the ways of the kahuna and about all about aloha. So that will be at 7 p.m. Pacific time. And she will also be on once a month to talk to us and teach
wow.
us about Hawaiian healing. Yeah, so it's
fantastic.
Quite exciting.
Yeah,
right.
I would like to hear that.
All right, great. And for everyone else, we also have on Wednesdays, we have Christy Howard, and I talk about personal development. And on Thursdays, Joey, who was just online with us, Joey is talks about permaculture and going green, creating sustainable systems. That's on Thursday at 7. And on Friday, we have Freedom Fridays with Christy Howard, where we talk about developing and creating, you know, what is your dream? What's your vision? What's the life that you want to create? And Christy's just incredibly, just a beautiful spirit and so much fun. And, you know, if you haven't had a chance to listen to her yet, please call in or just, you know, we have all our recorded episodes and you can get to know her as well. All right. So for that, we will wish everyone well and we'll talk to you next time. Thanks, Paul.
Okay. Thank you, Paul. Take care.
Right.
Bye-bye.
Bye.